I'm Ursula Rudenberg. This is Strange New Version of Heart of Iowa. And I have with me today, by means of technology, Ann Kinzel, who's I guess the best way to describe you right now is a resident of Ames, Ann, and I'll let you describe your own credentials. This is also new. And we are here with Mayor John Hala, who is also here this morning. Would both of you say hello?
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning, Ames.
Okay. Give me a chance to adjust the volumes here.
I'm Ann Kinzel. I had the great privilege earlier in my career of practicing both public health law and hospital law, and I also worked for the Iowa Department of Public Health for a number of years. So I have a little bit of background in this and lots of interest as a human. So, Mayor Hala, good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, Ann.
So everybody's talking about flattening the curve. That's the big, big thing. And I want to talk a little bit today about what Ames is doing to help flatten the curve and respond to this absolutely unprecedented situation in all of our lives. So what can you tell us about what Ames has done to get ready and is doing?
Well, in terms of what we have been doing is the staff at the city, along with Mayor David Neffel Center, McFarland Clinic, Iowa State University, Story County Emergency Management, Story County Public Health. We recently met with Story County Emergency Management, County Board of Supervisors, school district, and they've been planning for the last 4 to 5 weeks, meeting frequently to put in place plans that they are now in the process of executing. The city has two major goals. The first is to essentially stop or reduce the community spread via the large group gatherings. And secondly is to continue to provide essential critical services to the community and also protect our workforce. So to the first, as people have probably noticed or observed either from in person or have read through press releases or heard through social media, a number of the public facilities or access to via tours have been stopped. That includes the water plant, sewer plant. The tours have stopped and the facilities essentially are being closed down to the public. Library has been closed. The park and recreation classes have been canceled. And all these are through May 15th. Staff decided to be a little more aggressive in terms of the length of time, anticipating that if we get through the situation quicker than anticipated, it'd be easier to announce that we are going to be open up for business again in lieu of continuing to extend the dates. So it's just a philosophical, there's nothing magical. We have no inside information that others don't have. It's just more or less the city manager determined that he felt it was a better way to approach things. In terms of City Hall, all meeting rooms have been closed to outside groups from coming in and using those facilities. A number of the community events, unfortunately, that were scheduled within the next month have been canceled or are being postponed. That includes new boards and commission member orientation, which was scheduled for next Monday evening. That's going to be postponed. We had a boards and commission appreciation luncheon. That is being postponed. EcoChat is being probably canceled, although maybe just rescheduled at a later date. The 10th annual Eco Fair is being rescheduled. It will not be held in April as planned. And so there's a large number. There may be some other ones that are all on the website. We are endeavoring to use the cityofames.org website as being the main repository for all the information, including press releases and current information. And we also have hot links there to a number of the different websites to try and cross-pollinate.
Oh, Mayor, when it comes to the City of Ames website, is there a devoted space to the virus?
Or? Actually, good question, Anne. There is. When you get on the website, you should be able to see at the very top on the banner, there should be a COVID-19 button that you can just go ahead and click and get right to it. Or you can go cityofames.org/COVID-19. I think it's COVID-19. And that will take you right to that particular location. And then there are a number of hot link categories that you can go to, including what we're doing for planning, as well as the hot links, and also press releases. And also, I did a video a couple of days ago, and that is should also be there as well.
Now, what about residents of Ames who, say, are not internet savvy or don't connect to the internet, perhaps some of the elderly, some of our homeless population? What are we doing to communicate with them?
Good question. The from the standpoint of those who are in different long-term care facilities, we've been reaching out, endeavoring to reach out to administrators, point them to the information, ask them to print that information off, and you know, post it on a community billboard or bulletin board. Homeless, that is not something that, to my knowledge, and it could be the staff is already taking care of it, endeavoring to get out to communicate. And then in terms of the those that are not internet savvy, we recognize that's also an issue or can be a real challenge, is trying to get the information out to the different media outlets, including the newspaper and also to the you know, radio station.
John, this is Ursula. We've so far, you know, obviously this is happening in real time to all of us and to the city public servants. I'm sure there's a very heavy burden that's falling on you very quickly, and I'm sure you're trying to sort out how to get clarity on what are the best moves for you to make. So far, when we've spoken to public officials, most of the announcements have been focused on what's being closed, and clearly that's a first stage in trying to stop the spread of the virus as much as possible. But we're finding people are now starting to say, okay, we've shut our lives down. We, you know, we're doing our part. What kind of things can you say that the city is doing beyond canceling everything? What kind of outreach is happening to help people cope with many, you know, difficult situations in terms of food and supplies and services? And I guess my other question is, how can we help you,
mm-hmm.
you know, with this process of trying to cope with the city?
Well, that's a very relevant question, Ursula, and that is, we've been talking for the last week with different community partners, and one way to get information is to go to the United Way Astoria County website. We understand, for example, childcare, you know, is a big issue, and one of the concerns is making sure is that people that are in our medical profession have access to that. All the critical services are of utmost importance to make sure that they have childcare, and also in the others in the community. And so there are efforts being or planning is going on even as we speak in terms of trying to get different initiatives set up from either using schools. I don't want to get too far in the details because it's actually available on their website. In addition, we have the food delivery. Heartland Senior Services is going to be trying to provide or deliver groceries and pharmacy to people over 60. And then I believe the Rotary Club is trying to work on delivering that to people under the age of 60. Certainly we have the food pantries. At that point, that's as much as I can tell you right now on those particular areas.
So, Mayor, in terms of talking about community spread, do you have any recommendations to our residents in Ames about what they should be doing with respect to staying home. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to defer, Anne, to the recommendations of the public health officials. And from what, what I've gleaned and learned from listening to a variety of health experts, this is what I've heard, and it's pretty simple, and it's just being repeated, and that is, if you're sick, stay home. Cover your cough and sneeze. Try and avoid touching your eyes, mouth, and nose. I guess that's the primary entry points, you know, for the disease. In terms of staying home, we understand that it can become very challenging, and people can get, quote, stir crazy. From what I understand, people are, you know, encouraging. You can get outside, walk around, just avoid getting into, you know, large groups. And then also people going out and, you know, getting the basic essentials. But beyond that, I would strongly encourage people to follow the CDC guidelines, the Iowa Department of Public Health, and also, you know, Mary Beattie Medical Center and or McFarland Clinic. I'm not a medical professional. I'm just seeking to repeat what I've been heard, what I've heard from those who are in those professions.
Okay, so we don't have a stay-at-home order in Ames, but it'd be fair to say that it would be the smart thing to do right now, just to stay home unless you need to be out.
That would be, well, yes, I think the that would be common sense. We also understand that there are people that have to work under our businesses. I know from talking to a variety of people who are connected in the community to the business world that there are a number of businesses that are modifying the operations as possible. Some are seeking to encourage workers to work from home when that technology exists. In some cases, that doesn't exist or it's impractical to do. There's certainly people that are working at the grocery stores and other businesses that have chosen, you know, to stay open. But for sure, those that are, you know, older and also who have underlying health risks, as the public health officials have encouraged, they should be encouraged to stay inside, stay at home as much as possible.
Now, in Ames, we own our own power plant.
Correct.
So how are we going, I would consider them some of the most essential workers in the city.
Mm-hmm. There's several. Yeah.
Yeah. There are many, but they're pretty darn essential. So what are we doing to help maximize their ability to be on the job?
They are actually water plant, sewer plant, power plant, firefighters, and police. And they have had all the department heads have been having ongoing discussions and having strategies in place to endeavor to keep crews on available. And actually, there are some also statewide, from the standpoint of power, I mean, of water and sewer plant operation, there are some networks available in the case you have people that get infected and you have some, you know, challenges in terms of having adequate manpower. In fact, I think Ames is probably in a better situation than some of our surrounding smaller communities where you may have only one person, you know, in that community that's able to operate the water plant or the sewer plant. But even then, we are working with the Story County Emergency Management. In fact, we have a phone call this evening where Mayor Barker from the state and I have invited the mayor to dialogue with Story County Emergency Management and find out what are some of their, you know, concerns and what are their strategies, because I believe each community has been doing planning and strategizing in terms of what something like this could happen. They do have some plans in place, and how are those, you know, what kind of resources do they need, how can we help one another out?
Sure.
But yeah, that is certainly a big concern that the city has is trying to make sure that you talk about flattening the curve, is making sure that we don't have multiple critical employees out at the same time.
Absolutely.
That's what we're trying to do, and that's what the city manager and the department heads are working very hard, you know, to do. And But we're also fortunate here in Ames to have the Iowa State, law enforcement also, and they potentially could become a backup. So, I mean, I haven't gotten into the details. That's really the auspices of individual departments, but I can assure, you and your listeners that the city is resolute and strongly committed to providing all those services. And as you rightly, noted, we have a power plant, and that's partly why power plant is off limits. You can't get in there now, so we're trying. It's very difficult to control employees once they leave to go home, but they also understand the critical nature that they offer for the community, and we trust that they're making good judgments, their own lifestyles.
Absolutely. Now, one kind of geeky question here, but it's come to mind from my background as a hospital attorney. Mm-hmm. A Mary Greeley Medical Center serves a much wider net than Ames. And if people are going to be brought in from other communities, they're going to have a family member or someone who's going to be hanging around in Ames, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Being able to visit at certain, maybe under certain circumstances and so on. Have we had any thoughts about how we are going to help Mary Greeley Medical Center deal with any family members or things like that in terms of where they can stay in the community? Because it does have a pretty wide service network.
Are you talking about someone, Ann, that would be become infected or just staying here while they're visiting?
It could be both. And we could assume at some level that if they came with someone who was ill, that they might in fact be a carrier themselves. So I'm just wondering, have we thought anything about working with a local hotel to book something off or do something? Because I anticipate cases coming to Mary Greeley, and I anticipate that they're going to have family or partners or relatives or spouses who are not going to want to be 50 miles away while this is 70 miles away while this is happening.
Well, I have not talked to any hotel operators recently. I can anticipate that the hospitality industry would welcome any and all customers at this point in time, given the fact that so many events have been canceled, and so there's probably a lot of empty hotel rooms in the community. But I can't speak specifically to your question in terms of has there been an intentional planning effort. I would ask, you could refer you to, the Mary Greeley Medical Center and see if they have interacted or have any kind of strategy in place on that. That's one thing that I would like to share with, with both of you and also listeners, is that each of the individual entities in the community has done, I just think, an outstanding job of getting their plans in place, but we're also trying to stay in our own lanes. So when it comes to, healthcare questions, medical questions, it's not trying to be evasive. It's just we're going to refer people to Mary Greeley Medical Center or McFarland Clinic. Iowa State, we're going to refer to them. The school district, the same. I took the liberty to go ahead and answer the question on, health care or staying at home or what's the best way to take care of yourself, only because it's been a repeated similar mantra, from everyone from the governor to the head of the Iowa Department of Public Health and also our local health officials. But there are some, you asked the question about how can you get to the City of Ames, website. It is cityofames.org/COVID, COVID-19. There's no hyphen. If you do that, you'll get right to the subpage that has information, and there's different categories listed there.
Mayor Haler, this is Ursula again.
Yeah.
You kind of wisely have, understanding that everybody has their own function in this process, and people are trying to stay in their lanes so they don't confuse each other. As the mayor and the head of City Hall, so to speak, can you describe to us what you see your main, in this time, what is your most important role? What is your lane?
My lane is to, one, offer assurance that there is planning that is going on to provide actually, in a way, traffic cop is probably the wrong term, but traffic director in terms of pointing people to resources, sources of information. Certainly to continue being a contact person for people regarding, you know, questions they may have that is city related. I will say that a lot of it ends up getting referred to the city manager or other department heads that may be able to provide that information. And it really is a way to give assurance to the community that there are efforts being made and to provide information. And that's why I, instead of giving a press release, I'm not aware if you had seen the video we did, you know, a couple days ago, but to try and also appear publicly in a video format to explain what the current status of affairs are and to also share with the community things they can do to help one another out as well.
So tell us here what you said on the video.
Well, the first thing, focus on three different things. One was what was the current state of affairs, and I reviewed that just a little while ago in terms of city facilities, access, and operations. Secondly, that morning, Governor Reynolds had issued her public health emergency declaration, which reduced or eliminated access to a number of facilities. For example, the gyms and fitness centers were closed down, the restaurants and bars, limiting groups to no more than 10, and there's a very wide swath of groups, and then also closing down, you know, senior citizen centers and adult daycare centers. And then three was just talking about ways that people in the community can, you know, help one another out.
What are some of those ways?
Well, one is, and I shared a couple of examples that I personally have been beneficiary of, is we have, I had some neighbors Monday night. I came home after a long day and lots of meetings, and they stuck a note, and their two little preschool kids had drawn some stick figures and a couple of bags of groceries, and they had colored on them, and the mom had written, in essence, said, you know, "Hi neighbor, you know, we're here to help. If you have any kind of need for a grocery run, pharmacy run, or anything else we can do for you, please give us a call." And they, you know, gave husband and wife's phone numbers. And it was a very small gesture, but it was a big gesture. Writing letters and contacting, as we shelter has become more and more reclusive to try and protect ourselves, we can also become socially isolated. And I think I heard someone say interesting, you know, yesterday was, you know, while we have to social distance, it doesn't mean socially disconnecting. And that's really important. So, because we are concerned about people that have, and may have, you know, suffer from mental health issues and the potential for them being even more isolated. And so reaching out to those in your neighborhood, people that you know, people that may be in service clubs, faith communities, any other kind of organizations you may be involved with, that you know, being proactive. Another was just using social media in a way, in a positive way. In the near future, I'm going to be encouraging people to look for ways to share on the social media. In fact, it's already going on, I think, you know, primary media outlets. It's just saying, post on Facebook or our Facebook things you're doing to encourage one another. I saw one young kid that was out passing out rolls of toilet paper to his neighbors, you know, one roll per door. I mean, it's just, It's seeking to be positive and reaching out and caring for one another are important. Another one is certainly we have a lot of students that are high school students, grade school students, and with the high school students in particular that are going to be certainly homebound for a few weeks. Who knows how long that's going to be, if that will be continued through the year. I do not know that. The year being school year, not the time, not the calendar year. But other parents that need daycare, I mean, child care, and could they go to that house and help do some child care, you know, so the parents can work who have to work.
So I hear what you're saying about social connectedness. I like to say that I practice physical distancing and social connecting.
Oh, that's a great way of putting it. Very good way.
Thank you. I think that notion, when the government first put it out of social distancing, made my heart drop, because I think that's precisely what we don't need.
Say that again. Physical distancing.
Social connectedness.
I like that. That's very good. Yep.
Thank you. But here in Ames, we have strong neighborhood associations. I wonder if that's a way, if moving forward, that we might be able to plug them in as a resource at the neighborhood level.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to assume, rightly or wrongly, but I'm going to make an assumption that we are heading in a direction that's going to be tough. And I think other countries, other cities, maybe potentially canaries in our coal mine, and we need to be prepared to think of even tougher measures down the road. And the more we stay connected, the better that's going to be.
One point,
Mayor, is that I'm glad you're reaching out across various types of media, because one of the things that's been helpful to me is that I'm also a French citizen and French speaker. Mm-hmm. And so I've been listening to French media every day, and they're kind of ahead of where we are on this curve, okay? So they're not quite Italy, but they're moving in a direction that they're not happy about. And they've banned everybody from the streets. And they forgot one population. They forgot the blind.
Mm.
So to go out and be on the street in France right now, you have to have a piece of paper with a kind of a signed affidavit, and you got to get permission to be outside, or the store, even to go to the pharmacy. You have to be willing to say under penalty of perjury that you're doing this for what's considered a legit emergency reason. Well, the blind can't write on a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And so the government is now scrambling what to do with people who are blind, who can't get out.
Mm.
And they're afraid, and they're hunkering up in their home.
Mm-hmm.
So it's vitally important that we use as many media forms as we have.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's easy to make the assumption in a city like Ames, where so many people are well-educated and technologically advanced, that, oh gosh, everybody uses the computer.
Oh, I can't agree with you more. And that's, it's interesting. I'm a baby boomer, and so I grew up reading newspapers, and my source of information has been, for decades and decades, has been print and radio and television. And because everybody can fully appreciate, this is an ever evolving. When you ask people who are 40 years and younger, I rarely find someone who even reads a newspaper. They don't rely much on radio or TV. They're either getting it from news feeds. Some say they get it from Facebook. Even that's changing as you talk to individuals. We had a joint city council student government meeting here a few weeks ago. It was absolutely fascinating. It was a room of college senators, and none of them agreed on how they got their news. Some said Facebook, some said Instagram, some were relying on a short little, you know, news burst from Twitter. Some were saying they used the push notifications from their, you know, choice of Apple News or CNN or whatever they, you know, whatever they chose to be getting that. But face of getting information out and the ability to get information out, we're trying to leverage every, you know, known means. But for those who don't have access to electronically, then it gets back to the old print or radio or TV. And then that's way hard too, because you know, locally we do have channel 12, but people don't have cable TV and they're just going to normal airwaves. It's getting pretty hard, you know, to reach them, and so it's going to take some effort on the part of the individual to try and, you know, access that. But it is a challenge, and that's one thing that council, we talked about at goal setting, is that how can we continue to further engage the community so that they are aware. This is a council and city initiative to further try and get the information out, because we know it's evolving, and it is a real challenge. And so, as you indicate, you know, the visually impaired as well too, how are they getting their, you know, their information? And that's an important segment of our population as well.
Speaking of the city council, what's going on with their meeting?
Right now, next Tuesday night, we are either going to be doing a telephonic meeting, and the city manager and I have talked about the agenda. The agenda is going to be primarily items that are either consent. We have some public hearings we need to have, but they're public work, you know, repaving of a street, you know, sewer project, things that rarely, if ever, we have someone, you know, come and offer input, but that is an option that people still can do. Things that we feel that people want to give public input on, we're going to pull those and not put them on the agenda, because we're still trying to fine-tune that. We are going to be eliminating, we're not going to be having council members come in the council chambers. I'm still determined, trying to evaluate whether or not I'll come in the council chambers. But we are exploring, like we tried to do this morning, you know, using Zoom and having them electronic meetings. We're also exploring the same thing with planning and zoning board of adjustment, and trying to go to electronic, either by telephone and or by you know, Zoom. I believe last night they had a planning and zoning meeting, and I believe it was done telephonically. Because the city has not had a Zoom account, and as we witnessed this morning, we want to make sure that the technology, you know, works and everyone can interact with one another. The advantage of Zoom is that people can, you know, get onto the meeting, and we can have, I believe there's groups as large as, you know, 300 can get on and watch the meeting. But then staff can actually, you know, put up handouts or displays, you know, on the screen. Everyone can see them, and we're interacting in real time. But for the time being, we're going to seek to not have council, you know, come in. Now, one of the things that we are really working hard at, Ursula and Ann, and that is we want to make sure that how do we handle people who don't have access to computers, but they want to come to the, you know, council meeting. And if you were to come to City Hall today, and look in the city and look in the council chambers, it's going to look barren, because they've laid out the chairs and there's 6 feet between each chair, and there's about 6 or 7, 8 chairs in the middle, you know, there. And uh-huh. We're going to have a staff person out in the lobby. And if those chairs happen to be all taken, then just ask people to, you know, take a chair or stand and wait. But I anticipate that, you know, it's uncharted territories for us, and we're endeavoring to make sure that people have access to and can participate in a meeting. But this next meeting, we're trying to make sure that it's primarily just business that typically people have, you know, little to no interest in. Not that it's not important business. It will be on, again, all the council packet, all the information that we see, we have access to at the same time that you do, and that is at you know, usually about 5 o'clock on Friday night. It's all online, and then it'll still be broadcast on Channel 12. And we are endeavoring to make sure that we can protect the public.
It's the kind of thing, an item on the agenda that is important to someone, but not mm-hmm. to a lot of people, I presume.
Correct.
So as long as you can make that access and opportunity to be heard to that one person who's interested.
Yes, ma'am.
Democracy continues, right?
That's correct. And we're also endeavoring, we will be abiding by open meeting laws and public hearings, and our county and our city attorney is working to make sure that we comply with the code, and also what the Ames community expects as well.
What's the most surprising thing you've learned about the city while you've done this, while we've been facing this threat?
The weakest link is our water, not weakest link, the most critical piece is our water plant. We have, we're very fortunate to have multiple trained technicians to operate that. And interesting enough, we have others that have been interns that are also trained. But that's an important piece, you know, our water supply. But what's I was just so interested to hear is that I was talking with John Dunn yesterday, and believe it or not, within the last couple of years, they ran through a disaster scenario at what would happen if a pandemic hit. Can you believe that? They went through it, did a tabletop exercise and went through it. And he said the plan that they developed back then, everything is coming. I mean, they're just working their plan, and he says working perfectly. So they already have planned ahead. We said there's also a statewide, I think it's called WARN, it's a statewide network of technicians that we are hoping by flattening the curve that there's no need to go to that network. But if there is, there are other technicians licensed in the state that can help keep our water plant going. So that was something that you just don't, you know, think about, you take for granted.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't surprising to me, but it's just so refreshing is that the can-do attitude, the collaboration, the commitment to working together, just the fact that people are resolute that this is not going to get the best of us, and we are going to endeavor to care for one another. And attitude. Attitude is key. I think all of us, I'll raise my hand and say I'm guilty of this too, but you can watch enough stuff on either on TV or read it in the paper, you know, listen on the radio, and after a while it gets to be overloaded, you know. It's just like, it's refreshing when you just do something different, you know, for a while, get your mind off of it, and just, you know, keep a positive attitude. And that's probably another role I see in my lane. It's just saying, we're going to work together, care for one another, and it's as you've identified, Ann, it's probably going to get, it is going to get worse. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, people know. We just don't know how bad it's going to get, and we just really want to try and minimize and provide for the needs of the people in the community.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's always a little frustrating for me is I hear a lot of conditional language, things along the lines of, well, if we go like Italy, we might not have enough ventilators.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important to level with people, and I see you do this, and I appreciate it, to say that there are some things that are just basically factual.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to quit referring to them in the if or maybe language.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't want to scare people, but we also want to impart a certain sense of reality. And there's a reason to stay home don't have essential services. So I really appreciate that, because there's a fine line between, you know, doom and gloom and scaring people too much, but there's also a need to be realistic. And, you know, this is something I was thinking the other night. My parents grew up, you know, were children, very young children in the Great Depression. That event has carried through their 96 and 91 to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And we are living something like that. We are living history right in front of us.
That's correct.
And this will be talked about for decades to come.
And they, when they went through the Depression, had not gone through something like that before, and it was uncharted territory, and we're the same way. And you're right. It will have a profound effect on our kids, on all of us. And it's just I'm thrilled to be. I wouldn't want to be anyplace else in America than in Ames, Iowa. Because I think we have a great healthcare system. We have people that do care. We have people that are working extremely hard. I think that people have to also accept the fact. Sometimes there's decisions that made. Maybe you don't agree with it, but you have to believe that people are endeavoring to make the decisions that they believe are in the best interest of the community to try and help. As we talked about before, you know, flattening the curve and trying to minimize the spread so that we can try and protect as many people as possible. And there's going to be mistakes made. There's just flat out. No one's perfect, but it's not because there wasn't thorough evaluation, conversation, and Steve Shanker and I have been interacting so many times during the day, and the amount of time that he's putting in and the passion and desire he is, it's hard. It's hard when you're seeking to manage, you know, over 600 full-time employees and all the things and the passion that the community, that the city has to deliver services. I mean, to close a library was not an easy decision.
No, you know, when it's been popular in America just to kind of denigrate public servants, but if this crisis teaches us anything, at the end of the day, we depend on public service.
And Mayor Hala, thank you for joining us and spending some time with us. I hope you'll come back. Some people do turn to radio for at a time like this, and some people do turn to KHOI, so we hope that you'll be able to come back. And
I appreciate the invitation. Listen, I think that honestly, as things continue to develop, it could be that even maybe next week that we get back on again.
Because okay.
As we all have seen, things have changed so quickly here in America and in Ames.